Good morning.
At this time, would you please silence your electronic devices as we listen to our prelude and prepare for our worship.
Well, good morning again on this kind of fallish day outside. You drove on ice this morning, and by the time we leave after worship service, we'll probably be just wet roads. So that's my prediction right now, and I'll be as good at predicting the weather as the weathermen are. So invite everybody to please sign the friendship registers that are in the pew in the center aisle. If you're a visitor, I welcome you to please note that you are visiting with us and leave some contact information so that we can reach out to you and welcome you personally. Announcements are found on the goldenrod sheet right here. There's something that's old school, huh? Call it goldenrod. There's only a few of us who know what goldenrod is. So please read this over. Remember, we have a potluck right after this to talk about the associate minister. And then at 4 o'clock today, the blessing of the animals will be. Charles, don't bring your goldfish. It might freeze. Other announcements. The college band concert will be this coming Saturday at 3 p.m. at the music building. Everyone's welcome to attend that. It should be a glorious occasion. So if you want to hear some great band music, plan on attending that next Saturday at 3 o'clock. All of the church family is invited to the wedding next Saturday, October 20th at 3 p.m. Melissa Heck, same time as the band concert, Melissa Heck will marry Sterling Ingram here in the sanctuary. Tammy and Ray Lynn and all of the family invite the church family to come and join in the celebration. The reception will be later in the evening at the Heck's Barn in Evansville, and everyone is welcome to come. Mike, you have an announcement regarding the pumpkin patch.
I know all about that goldenrod stuff. I worked in a print shop when I was in high school. Anyhow, good morning. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about how we did on the pumpkin patch yesterday. We had a total sales of $1,472. $1,447.50 was for pumpkins, $14 for baked goods, and $10.50 in donations. So even though the weather hasn't been very cooperative on our patch, we're sitting somewhere in the neighborhood of about $3,500 sold so far. If we get some nice weather, maybe we'll get it up close to 20,000 like we're shooting for. But we're getting after it, and the only thing that happens is when the snow starts coming down, all the customers disappear. So, all right. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Any other announcements? Seeing none, let us stand and greet one another before we sing our opening hymn, number 3. The sun is on the sea and the shore. Please join me in the call to worship. Awe-inspiring God, we gather in need of your tender compassion. Listening, God, you support all who cry out to you for help.
Come, all who seek the Lord, offer your praise.
In thankfulness for God's loving mercies.
Come, all who seek the Lord, offer your worship.
Let us... You're good. Glory be to the Father. Let us pray. O gracious God, we are in need of your tender compassion. We cry out to you for your help through our prayers. We ask that you spread your mercies upon each and every one of us. We do this as we say the prayer that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now turn in our hymnal, you may go ahead and be seated, to number 543, Blessed Assurance, and we'll sing verses 1 and 3.
Invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing. Well, it looks like maybe it's just Evan, and he's really more a youth than a child. So I wonder if our kids are playing in the snow today. We'll do show and tell with the grown-ups. I was going to demonstrate to the kids what it means when you're trying to weave something, and just the simple idea that when you weave something, you go over and under and over and under, and then the next row, you go the opposite of that, under and over and under and over. Pretty simple. We have some little children's looms around here that you use to make pot holders with strips of socks. And Jennifer Grooms and I talked about those, and I said, well, maybe, you know, maybe I should get that out for children's time, and the kids could do one in Worship and Wonder or Sunday school. And she said, we tried that a few years ago, and it was awful. And then I remembered when I was in Girl Scouts, and I was trying to use that little loom. It goes okay with the over-under part, but then when you get to the end, and it's time to take it off the loom, it really is kind of tricky. So I did kind of a simplified, just over and under show and tell for our kids this morning. And I was going to ask them a question. And as Joan McNamara reminds us, who are the children of God? We are, all of us. So I will ask you, the children of God, the question I was going to ask the kids. Think about the week you've just had. Think about over and under moments in your week, happy and sad moments, highs and lows. Does anybody have a sad moment from the last week, kind of an under, a low time? Anybody had a sad moment? Jim, you're nodding your head. What was your sad moment?
We
So Jim and Tricia moved this week, and that's a pretty stressful thing. Anybody else had an under time, a sad time this week, a low time? Linda.
We attended a funeral of two of our friends on Sunday afternoon.
Last Sunday afternoon, they attended a friend's funeral. Certainly a low time. A low time for me was hearing the word that Billy Triplett has passed away. On Friday, he lost his battle with cancer or won his victory in heaven, depending on your perspective. He was looking forward to seeing Jesus, and now he can't. What about high points during the week? Anybody have something fun that happened this week? An up and down, what was the up? Jim?
We got moved.
Isn't it amazing how the same experience can be a high and low all at once? That's how God weaves us together. Cindy? Hooray! Caitlin took first in two swim meets. Tricia.
Our daughter-in-law was in a horrific car accident, and she.
Daughter-in-law in an awful car accident in Georgia, and she is fine. That's one of those, the bottom falls out, and then it lifts up again. I know there were some emails shared in the congregation about family members in the path of Hurricane Michael and devastation, and folks doing okay and thankful to have the word that loved ones are alive. All of those up and down times in life are ways that God weaves us together and God is present with us through it all. So just a little visual illustration for all the children of God of the highs and lows of life. We'll continue sharing highs and lows as we lift up to one another prayer concerns. We have already named some. The stress and joy of moving a successful athletic event for a child, a funeral for friends, Billy Triplett's passing. Amber French continues to ask for our prayers. She is really struggling this morning. I know that we're just so thankful that she's back, and it might be easy for us to think, oh, Amber's doing okay because she's here. It takes every fiber of her being to lead our choir rehearsal on Wednesday night and to come on Sunday morning, and she is struggling to return to work. So please continue to pray for Amber. We pray for those affected by Hurricane Michael. We pray for Becky Owen, who serves as a missionary in Swaziland. Our regional prayer partners this morning are the members of Mount Air Christian Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Their pastor is Ruben Rodriguez. If you were at the business session during Fall Feast, you met Ruben. He was the outgoing moderator for our region and led that session. Our card shower today is for Mike Ward. I encourage you to take a prayer card from the pew rack in front of you and write a note to Mike or someone that God places on your heart. Mike is having hernia surgery tomorrow. And if you have watched him walk, you know that it is time because he's been in pain. And even with that, he's keeping up with the pumpkin patch. So pray for Mike as he heads to surgery. Pray for our scouts and for his daughter, Erica, who will be covering things for a day or two at the patch. We want you to be healthy and whole, Mr. Ward. There are many who are on our list who have health concerns. We want to lift all of them up. I would ask now, are there other joys or concerns that we want to name today before we pray together? Debbie. Prayers for Autumn as she adopts nieces and nephews on Friday. Trudy. No, saying yes, it's coming. It's been a long journey. Yes. Wanda.
Prayers out too. Yesterday we celebrated the upcoming had a baby shower for my daughter and my son. So on Tuesday the 23rd, she will enter into this world.
Hooray. A grandbaby on the way. We rejoice. Mike. Her daddy, the Boy Scout, taught her to be prepared. We are thankful that they are safe and survived a cold night. It sounds like they slept in the car.
They slept in the car.
Prayers of safe travel for those folks who are waiting for fall weather to melt our ice on our roads. Are there others? Madison. Renewed prayers for Madison for health.
That
Keith.
Was a small blessing. After almost 4.5 years, I'm able to start looking for part-time work as a, it's going to be sedentary work, but I can really start looking for work again.
We are glad that Workman's Comp and all the doctors have cleared you for part-time work, and we pray that God will open the right door for you. Charles. Prayers for Amber's brother, Kent, as he has a job interview that would be a really good fit for him. Prayers that goes well. Let us lift all of these prayers to the Lord in a time of shared silence. Eternal, immortal, almighty, everlasting God, We praise you, Holy One, for being with us always, through the highs and lows of life, through every season, through every day and every year that we walk this earth. O Lord, you watch over us and call us your own beloved children. Lord, we lift prayers today for all those that we have named this morning. We ask prayers of healing for Mike as he has surgery tomorrow, for Madison that her stomach issues may be resolved soon. We continue to pray, O God, for Amber, for clear thought and a bright spirit, for better rest and sleep, for no anxiety or depression. O Lord, heal her. Lord, we give you thanks for so many gifts and blessings, for an adoption long longed for finally coming to fruition in Debbie's family this week, for Wanda's grandbaby soon to be born. We pray for healthy final pregnancy. Lord, we thank you that Keith is able to return to work part-time. And we pray for Amber's brother Kent as he faces a job interview, that God, you will open this door for him. Lord, we thank you for watching over Mike's family, for being present in cars on a chilly night in Chugwater as travelers were stranded. We thank you, God, that Erica and Kylie are safe. Lord, we pray for all of those who travel on icy roads and who travel through hard places in life. Oh God, watch over them. We pray for communities devastated by Hurricane Michael, for Panama City and Florida, for other communities along the Gulf Coast and inland where buildings were ripped to shreds, where floodwaters are not yet receded. Lord, we pray for those who are recovering from storms, for those who are in harm's way, and for communities that carry the weight of grief. God, we lift to you our own grief, named aloud at the death of Billy Triplett. We rejoice, Lord, in his faith in you, and celebrate his eternity now beginning in heaven with his best friend, Jesus. God, we pray for all of Billy's friends and family who will miss him. Lord, you watch over us in highs and lows. You watch over your people near and far. This day we pray for Becca Owen and the work she does as a missionary in Swaziland. We pray for Reuben and the congregation he pastors at Mount Hare. Lord, you know so much better than we, those who are in need. We pray your blessing on them and on us. We pray for your gift of wisdom and discernment during our congregational meeting this afternoon. Give us listening hearts to be open to hear your voice and to wisely choose together how to answer a question on the future of our congregation. Lord, for all who need wisdom, we pray your guiding presence. For all who struggle with moving or health, with travel, with sadness, we pray for your peace and for all who are at high points in life. O God, rejoice with them and continue to bless your people in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is really my favorite time of the year. While I don't enjoy driving on icy roads, the changes of the season allow me to recognize God's presence. You see, I'm blessed to live in Casper, Wyoming, because we have a mountain just to the south of us. And each and every morning, no matter what kind of mood I'm in, I can look to the mountain, and it always seems to give me strength. You see, because when I'm in kind of a fog or a haze or not certain about how good a day it's going to be, I may look up at the mountain, and it may be cloudy, and I can't even see it. But then if I watch a little bit longer, the clouds begin to lift, and I begin to see the mountain as it goes up. The best times for me are when I get up and I take a look and the sun is up and it's shining on the top of the mountain, but the clouds are halfway in between, so that you see above and below, and God's light is shining to get to that mountain. And then the clouds dissipate and the sun comes out, and we all know that God's presence is with us. The same goes for our communion table. The loaf and the cup represent the sacrifice and the body of Christ. So no matter whether we're at our highest high or our lowest low, this table always offers God's prayers and presence for each and every one of us to be with us. And we should understand that God is with us at all times. Let us sing our communion hymn number 419.
At the table of the Lord, we taste eternity. We taste the love of God, which stretches from the cross all the way back to the beginning of creation and all the way into the future when we will feast in heaven with the Lord. All who are here today are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper, to take the bread and the cup as they are passed. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were there, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Taste and see. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you, to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
Lord, as we take this bread, we remember that you are the bread of life. You feed our souls, you nourish our hearts, and you give us sustenance to run the race before us. As we break the bread, we feel the softness of your love for us. We smell the fragrance of grace. You release it fresh each day. We thank you with all our hearts for the great price you paid when you were crucified on the cross for us. Lord, as we drink this cup, we remember that you are the giver of life. You are forgiveness. You bring deep peace to our souls, and your love flows within us. As we taste the cup, we see your sacrifice poured out for us. We notice the depth of your goodness and the pain you suffered for us. We dwell upon the intricacy of human life and the price you paid to set humanity free. Amen.
Thank you.
Today, I'll be reading a letter about the reconciliation offering. It is written by Reverend April G. Johnson, who serves as the Minister of Reconciliation for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Have you ever found yourself in the presence of someone who was greatly overwhelmed and you felt powerless to ease their pain? Recently, while participating in a meeting for a rally to highlight the plight of people living under oppression of poverty, the moderator of the meeting was being criticized by the participants because he apparently made a decision without securing approval from the group. Because of this, the group felt left out, and their emotions started getting reactive. Soon I felt my own anxiety increasing. I took a deep breath and asked the group, "What do you need today?" Slowly the tone of the meeting changed. Words like trust, confidence, and fairness began to emerge. I wondered, is this not what God asks us every day, beckoning us to the ministry of reconciliation? It seemed as if in the midst of our tensions and anxieties, God was asking us, "What do you need today to embrace my call?" In the verse preceding the well-known verse of Micah 6:8, the Message version reads, "How can I stand up before God and show proper respect to the high God?" The prophet ponders on response to God, "Shall I give the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" God has created and empowered each of us numerous gifts, passions, and experiences for how we respond to the prophet Micah's question. But what if we change the question? What if in the midst of our emotions, feelings, anxieties, and even as we ponder the sins of our souls, we stop to ask God, "What do you need from me today?" Through your reconciliation ministry, our churches are hosting conversations where every voice is valued. Our youth are leading and teaching faith-rooted activism, and our leaders are developing and participating in educational opportunities that promote justice, that heals and loves love that binds us together with our God and neighbors. Will you embrace the call? Our diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. O loving God, we ask you to bless these tithes and offerings. These tithes and offerings are a symbol of our church's love for all of mankind, and to help with the mercies that you spread throughout the world. We ask, Lord, that you do with these tithes and offerings as you see fit to better the love and the knowledge of God. In these things we ask, amen.
Thank you. Indeed, let us praise him. That was beautiful, Amber and Choir. Thank you very much. Today's first reading is Psalms 22. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 500. Psalms 22 is a plea for deliverance from suffering and hostility. According to the Dear Don, a Psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. And in you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm, not a human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me and they shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
Our reading continues at verse 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I add my thanks to the choir for that joyous anthem. Thank you so much. Before we begin this morning, I bring you greetings from the members of our Savior's Lutheran Church who just now are wrapping up their Sunday morning brunch. Their worship began at 9 this morning, and I had the privilege of preaching there as a pulpit guest. Their pastor, Reverend Joanne Neal, and I have shared a pulpit exchange. She came and preached here on September 30th, and I had the privilege of being in worship with them this morning, though I had to sneak out during the passing of the peace before communion to be here with you. So greetings from our Lutheran brothers and sisters in Christ down the way, and blessings on them and their journey. Will you pray with me? O Lord, in all the highs and lows of life, we seek your presence. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Steve, thank you for a powerful reading this morning of the Psalm. you can tell when someone stands up to read scripture. If it's a Sunday that they forgot they had signed up and they're fumbling to figure out what verses to read on their way up, or they have read and prepared the text, you had obviously thought of the meaning of these words before you read them for us. My God, my God, why have you forsaken us? Why have you forsaken me? These words were spoken by Christ on the cross. Perhaps they have been spoken at some moment in your life. Not during a week when there's just some highs and lows and you think hard to come up with something kind of sad to tell the preacher, but that darkest of all days in your life. When the bottom fell out. When you weren't sure that your faith would get you through. When you felt utterly alone. Have you ever heard your soul cry out, "My God, where are you?" We often speak as people of faith. The eternal promise that God is with us in the midst of our suffering. And we find comfort in that promise. Yet reading this text from the psalmist, at least the beginning of Psalm 22, we are reminded that there are times when even people of great faith can't find God. You feel utterly lost and alone and forsaken. You don't know where to go or what to do. When we talk about the highs and lows of life, there are few expressions of those highs and lows more eloquent than we find in the Psalms. There is a rhythm, a repetition of highs and lows of lament and praise woven throughout the Psalter. In fact, in Psalm 22, within one psalm, we begin in utter despair and we end by offering praise. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. All the nations will praise you, O God. I wonder what it was that happened in the life of the person who wrote this psalm that took them on the journey from utter despair, from feeling less than human, like a worm, utterly forgotten and forsaken. I wonder what the journey was that took them from that place to a place of offering praise. Anne Lamott has written that hope begins in the dark. Hope begins in the dark. The stubborn hope that if you just show up and try to do the right thing, the dawn will come. You wait and watch and work. You don't give up. Hope begins in the dark. I like that phrase. It makes sense to me because I think on those days when we're living in the light, when life is good, when all is sweet and going well, in those moments, we don't necessarily even know that we need hope. Things are okay. It is in the dark times that we need hope, in those times when we feel forsaken. The psalmist reminds us of the presence of God. In the highs and the lows, the psalmist reminds us of God's faithfulness, and this psalm reminds God of us. This psalm teaches us that part of our faith journey is to cry out to the Lord, not just once, but again and again and again. We get to remind God of how much God loves us and how God has promised to be faithful to us. And when we believe strongly enough in God's will, in fact, God responds. I wonder if collectively as a society, we're suffering from amnesia. Collectively as a people, we have forgotten the Lord. I don't mean you. You're here because you remember God. But I wonder about the country we live in, the world we live in, if we have collectively forgotten that it is God who has made us and God to whom we belong. I wonder if we have forgotten all about God and tried to place ourselves as humans in the center. We think that we are the most important part of all creation. So it doesn't matter if we use up resources and throw them away. We are all that matters. We have forgotten that God is the one who made us, and God should be at the center of our lives. In the depths of our amnesia, our forgetfulness, we have forgotten that each of us is a precious creation made and loved by our Creator. We have forgotten that God's promises are for all people. We have forgotten that God's desire is that all people will encounter and experience abundant life. We have forgotten that in Christ there is not male or female, slave or free, rich or poor. We have forgotten the way that God made the world, the way that God sees the world. This psalm is a call to remember, a call to remind ourselves of the presence of God in the midst of our highs and our lows, our suffering and our joy, but a call also to remind the world around us that there is a different way to live, a way that honors God's presence in one another. And our Savior's Lutheran this morning, they are celebrating their consecration Sunday when people bring a card with an estimate of giving for the coming year. We'll be going through that process ourselves in a few weeks. The text that I shared with them this morning told the story of a young man who comes and kneels before Jesus and asks the question, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus tells him to sell what he has, give to the poor, and come and follow. Sometimes I think we have forgotten Christ's call to us to follow him above all else, to trust him above all else. In preparing that text for our friends down the street, I learned a new word in Greek. There's a point where the young man, after being confronted by Jesus, turns and leaves. The New Revised Standard Version in Mark 10 says that he went away grieving. The word in the Greek that is translated sad or grieving can also refer to weather. It can mean a gloomy day, a clouded over day. And so it got me thinking about how the text speaks of someone whose vision of Christ is clouded over, obscured by all the stuff of life in this world. Are there times that our vision of God is obscured, is clouded over, that we even forget? We forget how much God loves us. God loves us so much that Christ went to the cross to be forsaken not by God but by the world, to be put to death so that we might inherit eternal life. An inheritance can only come when someone dies. Christ has died so that we might inherit God's love and grace, God's kingdom to come and here and now, to know a fullness of life, an abundance that can be shared one with another. Perhaps it's not just society that suffers from amnesia. Perhaps it's the church. Perhaps it's all of us together, collectively, not just First Christian Church, but Christians around the world. Perhaps collectively we have forgotten about the abundance of God and God's ability to provide even when our resources seem scarce. God's ability to love even when we sin. God's presence in the midst of our lowest moments. May we remember. May we leave behind our amnesia and practice anamnesis, the act of remembering, the act committed in worship and in daily life of remembering, putting members back together of the body of Christ. May we remember who we are and whose we are, so that no matter what struggles come, we continue to share God's praise with our brothers and sisters and indeed all the world. From you, O God, comes our praise in the great congregation. Our vows we pay before those who fear him, the poor and the hungry, the lost, the oppressed, the forsaken, the forgotten shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall find and praise the Lord. May our hearts live forever, that all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. May it be so. Amen and amen. Our hymn of dedication today is number 455, You Have Called Me. If there's anyone here this morning who is eager to answer God's call, you're invited to come forward. If you're moved to give your heart and your soul to the Lord, to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you're looking for a church home and you want to place your membership here, either by confession of faith or transfer of membership, you're invited to come. As we stand and sing, You Have Called Me. I would remind you that later this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we'll have the annual blessing of the animals. Because of the weather, we'll meet in Fellowship Hall. If you're bringing in a stock trailer, you've got a horse or a mule, I'll come out to the parking lot and bless that critter for you. Be sure to bring your goldfish and reptiles inside so they don't freeze. Thanks for the caution there, Dennis. If there is someone who doesn't have a pet, but you enjoy being around pets, you are also welcome to come to this service of blessing. If you are bringing an animal, please bring them in a safe way, a crate or leash. Also, immediately after our final prayer today, we will gather downstairs. The coffee pot is on, as well as food to be shared at a potluck luncheon. I am sure that there is plenty to offer for our guests. We hope if you're visiting here today, you'll stay and enjoy a simple meal as we eat together. After we've had a chance to feast, our chair of elders, Dennis Baker, and our congregational president, Linda Mosteller, will lead us in a time of discussion and a congregational vote. So please stay today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O Lord, you have called us. You show us the way. Indeed, O Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life. It is with faith and hope, remembering who you are and who you call us to be, that we answer your calling, O God, to go forth into the world, to live lives of hope, joy, peace, and love. In Jesus' name, amen.